WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. If lawmakers on Capitol Hill fail to reach agreement on a government spending plan, there's likely to be a government shutdown beginning October 1st. Both parties are blaming each other for a situation that could leave people without getting their Social Security benefits in the mail. The House passed a stopgap spending measure, but it failed in the Senate. Political congressional reporter Anthony Undragna explains.
I think we've never been closer to a government shutdown. The path forward here to keeping the government open remains less certain than ever before, with just a couple weeks to go.
The White House says a deal to spin off TikTok from its Chinese owners is set to be signed in a few days. Lawmakers had said user data was at risk. CBS's Willie James Inman with more.
Press Secretary Caroline Levitt says the White House is 100% confident a deal for TikTok is done and just needs to be signed. In an interview with Fox News, Levitt added six Americans will serve on a seven-member board and that the social media app's algorithm will be controlled by Americans. She also says the data of American users will be handled by tech giant Oracle.
Major airports in Europe are a mess after a cyber attack causing serious delays. CBS's Michael Wallace.
The hackers attacked Collins Aerospace, whose kiosks allow passengers to check themselves in and print their boarding passes and luggage tags. The attack impacted London's Heathrow Airport and airports in Berlin and Brussels. Airlines had to check in passengers manually, creating longer lines and causing dozens of flight delays and cancellations. The fallout now appears to be contained.
The Secret Service says an armed man claiming to be law enforcement was arrested at the Arizona site, hosting a massive memorial for murdered conservative leader Charlie Kirk tomorrow. Some 100,000 people are expected. CBS's Chris Van Cleve with details.
Many of the people coming here to the Turning Point headquarters in Phoenix to pay their respects are hoping to go to that memorial on Sunday. If you're not a VIP or an invited guest, it will be first come, first serve. And police tell us that really visible, stepped up security presence will likely be very clear by early tomorrow morning.
ABC took Jimmy Kimmel Live off the air over the host's comments about the Kirk killing, and there have been protests. But Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz isn't pleased that the FCC threatened the network.
That's right out of a mafioso coming into a bar going, "Nice bar you have here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it."
At Farm Aid.
If you worked a little harder, then you'd have a lot more.
Singer-songwriter Jesse Wells is on stage. Other performers for the 40th anniversary show include Willie Nelson, Bob Dylan, and, of course, Neil Young. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. The city of Racine has released public records on Microsoft's hyperscale data center in Mount Pleasant. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The documents were released following a lawsuit against the city for failing to provide information about water usage estimates for the facility. Environmental nonprofit Milwaukee Riverkeeper filed a request in February seeking information on water use at the Microsoft data center. The city records release showed it will require an estimated 8.4 million gallons of water each year. Michael Greif is with Midwest Environmental Advocates, who filed the lawsuit. He says the city failed to respond for more than 200 days and then claimed the information was confidential.
That's 6 months in which the public was deprived of that information, which prevents them from being able to assess the impacts of this project on their community or their pocketbook or on the local environment.
Racine officials say they delayed releasing the information until they determined if it violated contractual agreements. Water for the data center will come from Lake Michigan and will be supplied by the Racine Water Utility under an agreement with the Village of Mount Pleasant. Supporters of the data centers say they create jobs, grow communities, and advance local manufacturing sectors. The lawsuit challenged the common practice of tech companies like Microsoft of requiring non-disclosure agreements with local governments, which can often conflict with free Freedom of Information laws. The Microsoft Center is being built on the former Foxconn site in Mount Pleasant, which was farmland until recently. Greif says similar data centers with facilities exceeding 1,000 acres in size are being proposed across the state, including a $4 billion extension to the Microsoft data center in Mount Pleasant, just announced this week. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, showers are likely, maybe a rumble of thunder still and a low in the mid-60s. 75 with scattered storms for Sunday. Sunday night, scattered showers and storms, a low of 62. 73 Monday.
It's 76 at our studios.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17, all coming up. Join us.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah, there it is. Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slucker. Here we are on a Saturday. I will say, Jacob, welcome back from the beach. And, you know, I had to call you out there on the beach just because, you know, I wanted to make sure that had you eaten, that you waited 15 to 20 minutes before you went back in the water. And that's what I was doing for you.
I really appreciate that, Tim, because I was out there on the beach, a couple of cervezas, a couple of chicas. And unfortunately, here comes my phone. Oh, it's Tim. So, yeah. And by the way, these are the only days I've taken off of this job in the entire time I've been your producer. And it's the first time Tim has ever called me. So thank you very much. Much appreciated. But I'm excited to be back because there's a lot of cool learning we're going to do and a lot of interesting things to learn. So, Tim, please.
Yeah. Well, Johnny, though, you're laughing, man.
Well, man, I appreciate it. We missed Jacob. You know, we did a lot of pre-recording so that this fine producer could actually take a couple of days off of several months of putting it to the grindstone. But we missed him. He's back. You know, the big dog at the desk. We got him back in his gear for this week. So I'm with him, though. I'm excited about this broadcast and having our guest with us today and learning from him and about the awesome programming and work that, you know, he's a part of. He's got an awesome team. Yeah. So, Tim, without any further ado, introduce our guy for our listeners.
Well, you know, and we have been talking about is it a phenomenon? I don't know, but you know, two hour learning, you know, Mackenzie Price out there putting this together and, you know, and I have been knocking on this door, for listeners and, you know, people that, you know, have been paying attention and Johnny, you know, kind of going back. I'm like, Johnny, what do you think of this? I'm like, I'm like, man, there's something here that tickles me. Because I really, really feel that what they're doing and what we're talking about is the Alpha School. We're talking about two-hour learning. Yeah, we're talking about, yes, that school that you all have heard about where 2 hours a day, the kids plug in, learn everything they need to learn, and then the rest of the day, they actually get to do really cool, meaningful things. Well, and that's actually what we're going to find out about today because we have the head of the schools in Austin, the high school, Chris Locke. Chris, in fact, that's your title, right? And welcome to Busted Pencils, my friend.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Yes, that is my title. I am the head of the high school, and I've been a part of this Alpha School experience for the last 5 years. I'm starting my fifth year, and I'm really excited to share some more about what we're trying to do, how we're trying to a little bit disrupt, a little bit innovate education, but most importantly, give kids a better experience so that they will truly love school and leave school with not only just the knowledge that they need, but more importantly, the life skills that will prepare them and propel them into their professional future, university, wherever they choose to go after they leave the Alpha School.
There it is. Okay, so Chris, let's go. My framing of introducing you, the quote, two-hour learning, the academics, students plugged in, rest of the day doing cool things, entrepreneurship, you know, learning out in the woods, doing all these kind of, you know, whatever it is with not teachers, but with guides. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. That's definitely accurate for K through eight, Tim. With high school, we actually talk about it as three-hour learning because the vast majority of our high school students are taking more accelerated curriculum. They're in honors type work and AP work, and we haven't figured out how to whittle it down to 2 hours yet. But ultimately, for our high school students, they finish their academics by lunchtime. And of course, there's times if they're not as focused as they need to be, they're going to have maybe 30 minutes, an hour and so of work outside of school. But it's not homework in the sense of do this worksheet or finish these problems. Each student, whether they're in kindergarten or they're in high school, has a dashboard of what they need to get accomplished in their different subject areas every day. And if they don't hit that at school, our expectation is they'll close that out when they get home.
Nice. So let's address the issue, because I know Busted Pencils listeners are like, you guys are public ed people. Mm-hmm. You know, Alpha, it's a private school. I mean, it costs a lot of money. What are you guys doing? And, you know, I will say right now to our hardcore fans and listeners, yes, we are absolutely public school. However, Johnny and I have always been, though, when there's something awesome about teaching and learning, something that's out there, we want to bring that forward, because I'm going to go back to a paraphrase of the Dewey quote that, you know, great people have used in different ways, but whatever the most affluent, the most incredible people offer to their children should be the standard of what we offer to all children. And so, because what's happening at Alpha, yes, it's private. We know that. And Chris, you're there, and we'll talk about potentially mm-hmm. public opportunities that I know your founder at least has been trying to explore, but yes, it's private school, but it's this concept of what you're talking about, Chris, and I'll kind of frame this from my own understanding and my sense of the world is that there's a really startling statistic that when we quote measure engagement, whatever, you know, however you want to put that, mm-hmm. but measure engagement from K through 12, that engagement, you know, from kindergarten to second grade kind of starts to go up. And then every year after second grade, students' engagement decrease. So that by the point of ninth grade, you're kind of like going, okay, that's a reality. Mm-hmm. And I think what you guys are trying to do is kind of start there and say, that's something we want to take head on, to say that school shouldn't be for every year you spend in school, you feel less engaged, less like you want to be there, less important, but every year should be an increase in why you really enjoy school. Is that what's happening at Alpha Schools?
100%. So everything we do at Alpha School is viewed through the lens of our three commitments that we make primarily to students, but of course to families. And that shifts from parents to more to the students as they get into high school. And the first thing is we want kids to love school. And we don't mean that they will love everything they learn, but we want them to love being in the environment that they're in. And it's not because it's easy, because it's Disneyland, actually quite opposite. We believe that when you hold kids to high standards, but you provide a lot of support, and that's where the role of the guide comes in, that kids can do incredible things and they can develop this love of school. Love of school also comes from having them have a greater sense of autonomy and control over their education. In high school, of course, you've got to take your 4 years of English, you've got to take biology and chemistry. But when we start to match the elective courses with these Alpha X projects that we'll get into a little bit, it really allows them to create an academic foundation which supports what their passion is. To give you an example, and we'll probably talk about her later, Grace Price, one of our most successful students. You know, most schools will say, you really should take physics. You got to take physics. I was like, Grace, but your project is on cancer and the metabolic effects of cancer. Wouldn't a really solid understanding of anatomy and physiology make sense? Yes. So now you give her this academic foundation, which supports the research she's doing with AI. And all of a sudden, she's developing a level of expertise, which is incredible. So that's where we find some of that love of school, because the kids see that what they're learning really allows them to feed what they're most passionate about, where they're spending their afternoons. And that's where the magic happens.
Johnny.
Yeah, I love that, Chris. And thank you for sharing this with our listeners. Again, it's the Alpha School. You know, it's a program thinking, like Tim said, about really kind of cueing into what our learners' needs are and how some of the assumptions we've had about how we do school, you know, for a century or more, you know, about like we go to school in the morning and we go home in the afternoon and we fill the day with, you know, better, we're 7 hours or so of like, you know, math reading, maybe a little social studies, maybe a little science, and there more math reading, taking lots of tests and, you know, doing the whole rigmarole of, can I go to the bathroom? Can I get a drink of water? Where I like to say my favorite phrase is, everybody who went to school in that model, which is most of you listeners out there, including all of us probably here, you know, we went into a traditional schooling model. You know, we all shared a similar experience. We got great at watching a clock. We got great at watching a clock. Now, we learned some other stuff, too. That's not me just smashing schools. But, you know, one thing I know everyone I've ever talked to who went to a traditional school can share some camaraderie around is what it was like to glance over at that clock and to know exactly where the little hand and the big hand needed to be for either the next transition or for the end of the day. And, you know, by and large, school, like Chris is sharing, our learning, the passion that we develop around that, the social experience we have with each other, you know, it probably can be done better. We can better use everyone's time. And we've been saying that whether you're in a traditional school or not, we've been saying that for decades and decades as educational researchers and as teachers. Like, how can we better make use of this time we spend together, right? So, Chris, this is exciting to share. We have a few minutes before we go to our break. So I think for our listener who's like, wait, what are they even talking about? Can you kind of, you've walked us through a little bit of it, but can you kind of tell us about like how you came into this, you know, your role in education and sort of the origin story of you, Chris Locke, involved with the Alpha School?
Great. Yeah. So I got involved with the Alpha School through a connection that I had at my previous school. I was fortunate to spend 17 years at IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, one of the largest boarding schools with a focus on sports. So I've been fortunate for the majority of my career to be around really passionate kids. And with athletes, they use that athletic ability to unlock opportunities at great schools there. And so when I found out about Alpha, I was like, you know, I'm not sure that I'm the right fit. I'm not, you know, I'm more of a traditional education guy. And Graham Fry, who recruited me to Alpha, is like, no, you've been taking kids from around the world and figuring out and helping them do that. And so I said, I want to see it in action. And he said, come see it. And the first thing that blew me away about Alpha School was the quality of the people that were here. The recruitment process was just outstanding educators, people that had really diverse backgrounds. They were open to people that weren't always traditional educators, but had incredible professional experience that you could share with people. And I remember when I first visited, I'm like, gosh, I'd never fit in. These guys are too smart, too impressive for me. But I was just intrigued by this idea that, you know what, academics can come first, because let's be honest, IMG is an amazing place, but the kids go there because they want to become a D1 athlete. They want to be the lucky few that go pro. And we worked really hard in my time there to make the academics as good of an experience. But when I came to Alpha, we never had to sacrifice. Academics came absolutely first. And then instead of sport being the differentiator, being able to give kids their afternoons back to explore what they cared about and develop deep subject matter expertise in something, all the colleges and universities talk about they want kids kids that spike now. They're not looking for that well-rounded student. They're looking for the students with deep interest in an area, that, and that's what our program allows them to do, is find that thing they love, what lights them up, and then using now the power of AI to be a superpower for them. They can do things as teenagers that you needed a PhD or a master's degree before. And it's really, really an exciting environment. And that's ultimately what drew me to Alpha, was that opportunity to put academics first and let the kids explore their passions.
Man, first segment done already. Our guest, Chris Locke, head of the high school of the Alpha Schools. Yeah, 2-hour learning. Well, 3 hours. We got a lot more questions for Chris when we get back.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax, but the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most, in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Yeah. Welcome back. Busted pencils, fully lead. Education Talk, educated educators. Here we're talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and our guest from Alpha School, Alpha High School, head of Alpha High School, Chris Locke, gave us a great intro to what's happening there. But Chris, right before the break, you hinted and you went, the AI superpower. And just so you know, here in Busted Pencils, between Tim and Johnny here, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, push and a rub. As Johnny will point out, Tim worships at the school, at the Church of AI. In fact, Johnny, I've now been promoted to potential minister of my own branch AI church.
Hey.
And Johnny, you know, kind of tries to bring me back to reality most of the times, but superpower, I'm all for it. Chris, tell me about it.
Yeah. So I think it begins with, we use AI very differently in our academic mornings versus our experiential workshops in K through eight, and then what we call our Alpha X projects in the afternoon. But let's talk a little bit about the morning. Basically, what we've done is we've created a platform called Time Back, which has been built by some of the best learning scientists, AI LLM experts, cloud developers, and ultimately those of us that are really obsessed and love education. And what that's allowed it to do is we use AI in the morning to be an academic tutor. Think back to when we first started education, where you have, you know, in the Greeks, the Socrates is being that one-on-one tutor. They're asking those types of questions. Our AI can do that for kids. It's not giving them the answer, but it's prompting them with the right questions. But what it does most effectively is it can start to generate personalized content for them. Let's talk about reading. Obviously, our philosophy at Alpha is read what you love until you love to read. So let's say we've got a fourth grader that really doesn't love reading books. Well, the beauty of AI can say, Chris can say, I love basketball. You know, Kobe Bryant's one of my favorite players, and I want to include my three or four friends. And now the AI can start to generate sort of almost like a choose your own adventure where I'm reading, but it's at the right lexile for Chris. And if I'm two grade levels below, it can adjust. And as I work up, it can constantly be tweaking the vocabulary. We can start to then ask the right questions that are getting beyond the DOK ones and twos, the facts and the summaries, into how can I start to analyze patterns and connections and things. And we've really amped up our reading. It can do that with our proprietary AP programs. We've trained it on all the College Board rubrics. So now it can start to generate aligned types of questions and kids can work through it so they don't run out of the database of questions if it's in an MCQ. We've also spent a lot of time investing in training the AI to provide really good, almost instantaneous feedback on a free response question using, again, the appropriate rubrics, with a ton of specialists, department chairs giving feedback that have been AI graders and things to be able to give that correct feedback. We still have human interaction. We still have people that are on final exams and full practice tests. We have both the AI grade it, but also a human taking a look at it. Because look, their AI isn't perfect yet. It's getting better every single day. But that's where we can allow that learning to be more personalized. And, you know, we start with very robust diagnostics. We're big proponents of MAP testing by the NWEA. Mm-hmm. And that then gives us a real starting point. And we're not looking to, you know, cherry pick the best and the brightest kids. We want to show how well this can work. When you target the learning based on the skills that the kids are missing, take them back. I will tell you right now, in high school, I have kids doing fifth grade math, pre-algebra, algebra one, even if they've already done algebra two at other great public and private schools. Especially since COVID, curriculum are shrinking because you've got to keep, and it is a huge challenge to, in both the private school world and the public school world, to be able to differentiate to that range of learners in your classroom. And again, the AI doesn't care what your SES background, they don't care if you're a non-native speaker of English, it's going to reach you where you are. And then when you personalize that learning and you're targeting, whether it's lexiles at the right level or figuring out, oh, you never really mastered fractions, it's going to do that. And then we call it slowing down to speed up. And it's really effective in getting kids caught up, filling in those learning gaps, and allowing them then to accelerate. And everything we do is in a mastery-based model. Sorry, guys.
No. This is really, really good, Chris. And said, you know, this segment is the one that flies. But I really appreciate what you're saying, because what I see in this, when I'm at the Church of AI, it's actually what you're talking about is what I see the possibilities, particularly having been a second grade, fifth grade, seventh grade teacher, you know, back in the 90s, when I was supposed to be individualizing instruction for all 20 to 29 of my kids, and realizing I could never do it. And as a fifth grade teacher, you know, in particular, I had second grade level readers and ninth grade level readers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of teach to the middle to try to compensate for that. And as you said, I now could imagine myself being back in that fifth grade and taking, quote, the fifth grade reading passage that I had for that day, popping it into AI, saying, look, I need this rewritten at the second grade level. I need this rewritten at the 10th grade level. And you threw in the other little part there too, that I wanted to go. And you know what? These two kids really love Harry Potter. So let's reframe it in a Harry Potter style. And these kids up here are really into field hockey. Throw some field hockey content in there. That, wow. Holy crap. Can you believe it? Hey, though, we got to talk about guides or teachers when mm-hmm. we get back. Also mm-hmm. want to talk about AI in the afternoon. And obviously, we're not going to get to everything. It's busted pencils, fully leaded. It's Chris Locke, Alpha Schools, 2-Hour Learning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
CBS News Brief. Democrats are demanding a meeting with President Trump in hopes of avoiding a government shutdown on October 1st. They say the president told Republicans to refuse talks. Political reporter Anthony Adraga with what could happen.
Everything from national parks being shut down, people not getting their Social Security and other benefits in the mail. The impacts are really pretty widespread.
Things are getting better at Europe's major airports after a cyber attack caused chaos and delays. This man is in Dublin.
Well, we've had to get into a big long queue here. We're not even inside Terminal 2 yet.
Texas Republican Ted Cruz is speaking out over the FCC's threat to ABC over Jimmy Kimmel's comments about Charlie Kirk.
What Jimmy Kimmel said was deplorable, it was disgraceful, and he should be off air, but we shouldn't be threatening government power to force him off air. That's a real mistake.
Kimmel is off the air for now. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
What's next for the Miz? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers play the Cardinals again tonight in St. Louis. Last night, Milwaukee losing 7-1. Starter Jacob Mizorowski pulled from the game after just 3 2/3 innings pitched after walking 3 batters and losing command of his pitches. Manager Pat Murphy is not sure where to use the Miz at this point as a starter or in the bullpen once the playoffs begin.
Yeah, I think it's obvious that right now he's not on track as a starter. But it doesn't mean he won't be. Just he certainly will be in the future.
NFL, the Packers play the Browns in Cleveland tomorrow at noon. Running back Josh Jacobs on facing another defense designed to stop the running game.
A lot of these teams that we play, we already know they're going to load the box. It's going to be 8 to 9 guys in there. Safety's going to be flowing hard. It just is what it is. It's what we got to expect. So we got to learn how to make adjustments from that.
College football, it's the Badgers in Maryland and Madison. I'll have a recap coming up later tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're like me, you never need to hear the word y'all ever again. It was a fun novelty as we indulged a Southern culture in a show of unity. Those of you who do use or like the word will be happy to know there's a new holiday film called Deck the Y'alls. Sigh. Talk about shoehorning a word into a title. At least there's a good cast and an award-winning one at that. Variety reports that the film stars Jessica Chastain, Octavia Spencer, and Wanda Sykes. Chastain plays a New York City baker who falls for a Southern gent, now it all makes sense, and heads south to spend Christmas with his family, and it's going great until she meets the overprotective mom played by Spencer, who also happens to be a celebrity chef. Chastain and Spencer were both nominated for Oscars in the Best Supporting Actress category in 2012, with Spencer winning for her role in The Help. Chastain would later win an Oscar of her own in the same category for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. Filming begins next year, y'all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, scattered showers and thunderstorms and highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, showers are likely, maybe a rumble of thunder still and a low in the mid-60s. 75 with scattered storms for Sunday. Sunday night, scattered showers and storms, a low of 62. 73 Monday.
It's 76 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Does this rash look concerning? It's good to be married to a doctor who said, what's that thing? Let's go see a doctor now.
Look, I know that Pat married for love, but it's like my grandpa used to tell me, marry him for the money because you can fall in love with him later. I don't care so much about the money. How cool would it be to have my own doctor in bed with me every day to do self-examination? See, that's all I'm looking for.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Celebrate Wisconsin's farming heritage with a special broadcast of the Maggie Dawn Show on Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm in Spring Green. We'll learn about the Reisinger family's past and explore their future. We'll also discuss the mental health crisis facing the state's farming community with the Farmer Angel Network. And we'll talk about programs that support farmers across Wisconsin with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Celebrate the legacy of the Reisinger family and families like them Thursday afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's the headbanging music as we come in to the third session. Yes. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education doc, educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and our guest, head of high school, the Alpha Schools, Chris Locke, here talking about, 2 hour, well, now 3 hour learning in the high school, AI and all those things. But Chris, we should say, we know Busted Pencils, we've got a huge teacher listener base. I mean, you know, they're out there. And I got to imagine a few of them are kind of going, yeah, Tim, but they don't even have teachers there. They have guides. Chris, help us out with that, man. Teachers, guides, what's going on, man?
Yeah, no, we are truly guides. You know, when I first started, we had a guide that had an English and literature background, a science background. AI has changed that for us. We now are not responsible for any content delivery, but that doesn't mean we're not directly involved in the student's educational journey. We look at ourselves as coaches and motivational support. When you can unlock motivation for a student, they can do anything. A motivated student will find the appropriate resources. And so our role as guides to be those coaches and motivational support is to really get to know that student, understand more about him. And we get to do what I think most teachers, and I've been in education my whole life, we got into it because it's the relationship of working with students that's really important. It's what, you know, you mentioned when you had 20 to 27 kids and you wanted to be able to differentiate to those students. That's what we get to do as guides, because we don't have to do the content delivery. We're not the sage on the stage. We're teaching the kids to be self-directed learners. And even if our apps or something happens and it's not good, if we're teaching them to learn and to be able to go out and find it, because even the best teacher, there's probably somebody on YouTube that can deliver that example or that lesson even better. So we teach them to be able to do that. Again, it's our role to be able to coach and motivate them, because the system's hard. Learning everything in 2 hours or 3 hours is really challenging and difficult. If we can be, I like to think of ourselves as sort of the trusted Sherpa. We're not going to carry their bags up, but we're going to be there with them. We're going to strategize when a student's struggling. We're not going to immediately tell them, you do this. We're going to be like, okay, let's work it together. Let's work the problem. Let's figure out what we can do so that, again, the student is the one that is self-driven and can move forward in that environment. So even though a lot of people think, oh, with the AI tutors, this is like, you know, our principal likes to say, we're not building AI robot terminators. But what we are doing is using the best of AI to be that tutor. And we'll talk about what it can do in the afternoon so that we can play the role of really getting to know that student, having those deep personal relationships so that when they're having a bad day, we know what motivates them and we help them realize, oh, you want to get to this university? Well, this is the pathway. This is how we're going to work through that. And also our guides need to create really engaging opportunities for them to be fired up. We're really proud of our launches in the morning. We want it to be sort of like Tony Robbins for kids, where they leave that fired up so they can get into their apps and get into their 2-hour learning. So there's definitely tons of human interaction. The biggest difference is it's not in we're delivering content. It's that we're coaching them, we're motivating them, we're figuring out what lights them up. Especially our role is big time in the afternoon as they work on choosing a project.
Okay, before Johnny jumps in, I got to ask a question. If you're doing Tony Robbins mornings, do your guides, do you get big teeth to show everybody? Tony Robbins has some of the big hands and big teeth.
Big hands, sure does. Yeah,
Johnny, you're up, man.
No, Tim, I like this and I appreciate this kind of question and clarification, because I think every educator out there, and you touched on this, Tim, talks about, you know, the expectation and the limitations that we have as teachers and what it is we do in classrooms and our labor and how ideally, you know, we taught in the same era and still teach, but, you know, for decades it was differentiated instruction and individualized, you know, learning pathways, you know, and meeting learners where they're at and identifying gaps. And, you know, Chris has talked about this. Sometimes what brings us to teaching is that, obviously, but also is, you know, being present at those opportunities where kids are learning, kids are socializing, they're developing, you know, they're identifying their passions and interests, and we're kind of connecting those learning opportunities and facilitating that, you know, together, and oftentimes stretched way too thin. So I love, like, Chris sharing the experience at Alpha School and the power of, like, AI tools, you know, to helping us truly do this, to really making it a manageable task for teachers to be guides, for teachers to be teaching, to really hone in on those moments where we say, "Ooh, I see you're really engaged here. Let's push to the next level." And anybody learning anything, whether it's, you know, correcting your golf swing, you know, throwing a baseball, shooting a hockey puck, you know, taking that next step in your reading levels or learning a new language, everybody learning, you know, it's so important to know what you don't know. And sometimes that's the hardest thing. To know what we don't know is a really difficult thing. So I love Chris sharing that those tools and the way that AI and also the guides, which I'll say the teachers and the educators in the Alpha community, are really cued into that. When we know what we don't know, we can, like Chris said, slow down to go faster. Yes. Right? We can really focus in on that. So I love those things, man, and what you're sharing, Chris. And I, you know, Tim, I know the worries, like, hey, teachers out there, we hear about AI and we think we're being replaced. Well, that's not the case. Certainly, you know, Chris has shared that. And, you know, we keep hearing that over and over again, that the teachers, or in this context, the guides, are really excited about the learning taking place, you know, in their context. So excited about this program, Chris. And if I can, one short story before we end up losing you, man, because I think we could go on and we should definitely have you back, man. But tell us just a story, one that pops out of just something that really makes Alpha special, and that you want educators to hear as they're thinking about possibilities for their districts, for their schools, and for just improving education. So give us a story from Alpha.
Yeah, you know, I want to give you a story of the afternoon and how somebody can really make a great example of it. And so I have a young woman, her name's Grace Price, and she is a graduate of Alpha. She's now in her sophomore year at the new University of Austin, the first new private school in Texas in 40 years. And Grace was impacted and lost her grandfather to cancer, and it became really deeply personal. And she started researching about cancer. And, you know, she was reading articles and things that she didn't truly understand. Again, at that time when she first started, she had just finished chemistry. She hadn't taken anatomy and physiology. She wasn't in, you know, biochemistry. And so she started reading these journal articles. And when she didn't understand something, she ran it through ChatGPT and had it distill it down for her. So there was one of those ways that it gave her the power to truly understand. And she kept building her expertise. And in our afternoons, we use the afternoons. The first concept is they need to be an expert. And in this age of AI, it can give you sort of the superpowers to whether it's distilling it down, the new deep research features, being able to do. Look, I went to college. We were on microfilm and microfiche, right? Now everything's at their fingertips right away. And she just started absorbing information. She started learning more. And what we found is really ambitious kids, when they reach out to successful adults, they will give their time to these teenagers. And so she reached out to some experts. One was Dr. Siefried, who's at Boston University. And she called him, she cold called him. And he said, you know what, I'm gonna send you these three articles. Give me a summary and I'll see if I'll have a conversation with you. She did it, her work, gave her her opinions. Within 5 minutes of emailing him, he called her back and said, how soon can you get to Boston? She then created a documentary called Cancer, a Foodborne Illness. It's now had over 5 million views on X. She has translated that into an internship with Callie Means, which got her to be a part of the Make America Healthy movement. And if you take politics aside, I'm not about politics, but I think we all can agree, if you go to Europe or even Fruit Loops in the United States is very different than in Europe. The ingredients is a mile long. Well, she got involved in that Make America Healthy movement. And as a college freshman, she testified in the US Congress. She's then translated that into opportunities where she just recently was part of passing three big bills in Texas. SNAP reform, taking sugar out of it, removing additives in school cafeterias. These are things that across the board are really bipartisan. And that's the type of impact that she can make. She's been in Arizona testifying. She's part of the MAHA girls, which CNN did a piece on. And again, showed that this is not a right-left issue. This is an American issue that we need to help improve the quality of our lives, improve the chronic diseases and so forth. So, and again, it was made able, or excuse me, it was able to be done because of what AI was able to do for her and allow her to then build this network of people, build that expertise. And to me, that's a huge success story.
I would actually add more to that, Chris, and say, one, just AI, it was your ability to see AI as that means to help her get there, but then you as guides, and being in that place, and Johnny talked about this too, so many times we got into teaching to be those people and spend so much time wanting to get there that when we get those moments, they're so rewarding and we want them so often that actually, yeah, the AI helped there, Chris, but I would say that Grace is as successful because of AI as much as she is about having an opportunity to have that tool, but then to have motivated people, teachers, guides, however you want to frame them, who could be there for her, as Johnny said, get her to the next level, get her to the next level. Because, man, I know teachers out there are going, that's what I want to do. That's exactly what I want to do. You know, and just thinking about this, and Johnny, it's making me go back to, you know, my last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, Chris, I have spent a long time really pointing out that we don't have a teacher shortage in America. We have a teacher exodus in America. And largely that is that teachers are leaving the profession. Lots of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons, and I you know, I surveyed over 400 teachers across the country in like 2018. The number one reason, they just want to teach. And what that means, we've translated that. They want to be a guide. They want to be in a relationship. They want to help a child understand that they are valued and loved. All of those things that at the core of why they wanted to become a teacher, why they're leaving, because they can't do that. And I, you know, I got to admit that for me, that's where I got kind of drawn to what's happening with what you guys are going with Alpha School. I know we wanted to talk too, though, about the public-private thing as we're coming up. As Johnny said, Chris, definitely want to have you back.
Great.
We're about ready to let you go. Where should people go to find more? Give us every promo you got.
Yeah, I think you can follow our co-founder, Mackenzie Price, on Instagram, any of her socials, Future of Education. Really, really powerful educational leader. There's a lot of information about our program, our data results. We believe in being fully transparent. So whether that's tourlearning.com or Alpha School, you know, alpha.school is our website. But we're getting a lot of publicity. You know, the Secretary of Education was visiting last week. And so it's starting to get polarized. But at the end of the day, we care about kids. And that's the most important thing. We want to, and our principal, our leader, wants to transform education and bring it to the masses. And we just want to be one method of doing that.
Man, it's like he knew we were down. Chris Locke, hey, here's what we say though. Thanks for busting pencils. When we get back to the Johnny, we're going to break it down. Right back.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize.
$200 cash and gold jewelry.
And be entered to win our grand prize.
Two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota.
Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by Pickleball Kingdom, a half mile north of Silver Spring off Pilgrim, Menominee Falls.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
There it is. It's busted. Pencils, it's fully leaded, and it's education talk. Educated educators talking education. Wow, great stuff here, man. Chris Locke, Alpha School, head of schools, the high school, two-hour learning. Yeah, that place, Mackenzie Price, that's who we're talking about. Yes, she's the founder. We've got some, you know, we're gonna have some more of them come back on. But Johnny, you know, we said, you know, hey, Tim and Johnny, what do you do? You guys are public school people. What are you doing with the private school? And actually, though, Actually, we've actually had on some pretty darn good Wisconsin public school people, Mike Bigley, Brittany Walls from CESA 4, and they're involved with the program Liftoffs. We've highlighted it. They're doing this kind of the same stuff.
Well, Tim, too, I got to just throw a plug out there. Remember, only a Sith speaks in thinks in absolutes or speaks in absolutes. I butchered that quote, but it's not public or private in the context that we've always kind of been polarized in. We're in a particular moment. I'm going to throw a shout out to Jonathan Garrico, you know, kind of regular guest out there and great education scholar and teacher educator himself. But Jonathan Garrico in his book, Publicization, right, really, you know, nudges us to think differently about what it means to be a public school. And that's not a plug for private schools. He's saying, like, you know, in a democracy, we should move towards publicization, really transparency, accountability, access, equity, all these kinds of things that, we, like you said earlier in the show, Tim, if it's good for some children, why isn't it available for any child who it might be good for? Right. And this is what we're talking about in terms of that there are public charters and there are private charters, and that the voucher system kind of undermines the publicization of so much that's possible in education, i.e. when you kind of have a really good idea like the Alpha School is putting to practice or Liftoffs in Wisconsin, right? They're saying, hey, AI can be a powerful tool. Let's do the school day differently and let's really get serious about engaged learning. And let's really get serious about liberating our teachers, you know, from the chains of traditional school day and, you know, reading math, worksheet, you know, test, and really engaged in learning together. So love that stuff, because I just had to throw that out there. Like, we're not here at Busted Pencil slipping into the, well, that's public, well, that's private. It's like, well, let's dig in a little deeper. Let's get into the ideas and let's see how public education truly can be in an increasing privatized country that we're in, which is a big problem. We're in agreement here, as listeners probably are, like, hey, the privatization of learning writ large, huge problem. But this is one of those interesting opportunities, Tim, and you highlighted it. Alpha Schools, our guest Chris, you know, the whole idea that we can do more with a day than we've been doing. And we know too much about what works for different learners and how to now help teachers do that work. And it's like exciting, man, because this is where, for me, rubber hits the road, if we want to use that metaphor, where we can do some of the things that, by golly, we've been talking about, reading about for years. And then we take a deep breath and we're like, how in the world can we do that in our schools? Well, change is not just on the horizon. It's here. I think, Tim, you were saying the future is just an infinite successions of the present. He got all philosophical on the break with us. And I love it. But Tim, I think this is exciting. We're going to continue to have these conversations. And I love that you connect these dots to our great programs across the country, especially shout out to Liftoffs over in Jacob. What district is that again? I know you've got it on quick draw.
I do.
Is it Whitehall?
That sounds right. Yes.
Yes, yeah. It is.
You said big it. Dog Mike Bigley?
Yeah, Whitehall.
Yeah. Whitehall. Yeah. Yeah, love it. Pulling my memory, my Rolodex of past shows. So just big shout out, because that's similar to what, you know, Chris was sharing here today. And Tim, big props for you for pulling this together, because this is near and dear, you know, to your heart. And you've been really pioneering this as a not only parishioner, but now you said, you know, moving up into the clergy member of the Church of AI.
Well, you know, I don't know what kind of vows I'm going to have to take. You know, that could be the make or break there, because, well, you know.
Celibacy in the human world.
Oh, let's not go there. Yes. And again, yeah, what we're doing here is we're really, you say, Johnny, liberating teachers, educators, learners, because, man, the power of education in schools. Let's keep doing it. But now it's time for your moment of zen. All I had always insisted that a good education was a synthesis of book learning and involvement in social action, and that each enrich the other.
Oh, man, Pencil Buster. I want to thank you an extra big thanks for tuning into the broadcast today or grabbing this podcast. If you want to grab more great podcasts chocked full with more fully leaded education talk, well, you just head on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or of course, you can always find us at Civic Media website or on our website, bustedpencils.com. And don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And make sure to catch next week's class in session on Wednesday. And you can always find us on Fridays. Of course, just like today, you're going to catch Busted Pencils at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks every single Saturday across all those network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep Busted Pencils.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. The battle over the Trump administration's crackdown on immigration is intensifying. California Governor Gavin Newsom just signed a law banning most law enforcement officers from wearing masks during operations. The law covers local, federal, and immigration agents. This over a series of immigration raids in L.A. where agents wore masks, sparking protests and prompting President Trump to send in federal troops. This as the government threatens so-called sanctuary states, including Illinois and California, with lawsuits and a loss of federal funding if they don't detain migrants for ICE. CBS's Michael Wallace.
CBS News has obtained letters from the Department of Homeland Security that warn New York, California, and Illinois their refusal to honor immigration detainers could trigger federal legal action. Those detainers are formal requests by ICE asking local jails and prisons to notify it before releasing migrants and to hold them briefly so federal